Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is brought to you by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Network. Today, we have another interview session, and I'm very happy to have with us, again, Mr. Evan Makowski. He'll be coming to us and giving us more insight on his life as an entrepreneur, and especially as it pertains to the sports industry.
And I hope that I pronounced the last name correctly.
Makowski, it sounds perfect. Amen. You did a great job.
Great. Of course, we met at the Garner, North Carolina Chamber of Commerce a few days ago, and we sat together as we listened to the program, and it was very intriguing talking with you about what you do in terms of your work, your entrepreneurship, and basically spend about maybe 5 or 10 minutes or however long you want to spend talking about what you do as an entrepreneur, as a business person. First of all, as a, from what I understand, a mortgage broker. And tell us, how did you get into this profession in the first place?
Yeah, I've always, William, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate it very much. It's a honor to be on your video cast. And I got into that because I flirted with it. I used to live in California, and I did licensed to be a real estate agent. And then I was pushed to be a lender, and I sold escrow, and I'd go to open houses, and I did not go and take the test to become a mortgage broker or loan officer, whatever you want to call it, when somebody borrows money when they buy an apartment or a home. So I moved back to the New York area from living in LA, where I worked. I was working as a sportscaster. I worked as a sportscaster for 15 years, but I moved back, staying in the journalism field, and I worked for my father, owns a public relations firm in New York City that he started in 1979. And he still is running it. And I did business development for his company for 4 years. And by business development, I mean going out, if you want to use the word hunting, but going to networking functions, meeting new prospects with the intention to turn them into clients. And, you know, speeding through this, then the pandemic hit and in-person networking went away. And so I leaned on my broadcast chops and I created something called a Maccast for Makowski Integrated Communications, a Maccast. And the goal of it wasn't to attract listeners. The goal of it was to reach decision makers. And if you were a PR firm, a public relations firm, and let's say you want to, we're talking about entrepreneurs, nobody's going to go out and buy these products. But let's say, you know, you work for Nestle or Hershey or whatever. Usually the person that a PR firm wants to contact is the chief communications officer, is the first entry point into the organization. They know if the company has a PR firm already or what their status is, if they're happy. And, you know, it could be the chief marketing officer. It could be the COO. It could be the owner. It depends. But as a whole, especially for larger organizations, it's a CCO. So I started a Maccast interviewing CCOs. So I got the CCO of Southwest Airlines, Carnival Cruise Line. They didn't cruise during the pandemic for 16 months. You know, the parking spot, Teladoc Health, which led to Makowski presenting business. So instead of just calling these people or using whatever CRM, Salesforce, LinkedIn Sales Navigator, to reach out to them, I'd ask them. It was a soft way of connecting with decision makers. And it did lead to Makovsky presenting business. And so then I ended up leaving my father's firm around May of 21. And I took my podcast with me because it just was like on a roll and I was getting good guests. And I just figured it would somehow pay dividends. And I changed it then from, you know, interviewing CCOs to interviewing C-suite executives. And I started getting, you know, the CCO of Moderna on. I got the global head of communications for PIMCO on. It's all on my website, podcastvideohost.com. I got VML YNR. YNR is Young and Rubicam, the advertising agency that started in 1923 in Philly and then moved to New York. Well, they merged with VML, and I got the CEO of VML YNR, and he manages 13,000 people in 44 countries. So one of the prospects that I had at Makovsky was a company, an international company called Black and Veatch. And I met them at a solar conference because we had an energy practice in San Diego and got connected to the director of external communications, had to do a little hopscotch from the person who worked there at the conference, who was at the conference, but got him in our offices. Our energy practice lead at the time, she did not close Black and Veatch and make them as a client, but I stayed in touch with the director of external communications. And then he had mentioned to me when we spoke on the phone when I left Makovsky that, you know, they were thinking of doing an internal podcast, and I had him on my podcast, which is on my website, on my with C-suite executives. And as soon as we were done taping, he just said, invoice me. And he bought 6 marketing podcasts, Black and Veatch did, and they wanted it where I interviewed employees, like senior employees around the company, because being an engineer is kind of a personalityless field. So they wanted this for potential employees and for current junior employees. So they wanted so that happened. And then a PR firm in Chapel Hill called Gladius Communications hired me for their client, Allied Electronics and Automation. And I hosted the Allied Expert Advice podcast. So, you know, I wouldn't even call these podcasts or vodcasts as much as I'd call it audio and video messaging, because, you know, I'm propping these companies up. I'm letting them pick I consult on content and marketing, but they know their content better than I do because they work for them. You know, they're the company. And as far as who to market to, they know that better than I do too, whether it's employees, whether the kind of, so yes, I'll consult on it, but at the same time, really the crux of the service that I created was, you know, I'll come up and, you know, they started writing the questions. A company called AirShare, I had their chief marketing officer on my podcast, and then he hired me because they're a private jet company out of Kansas City, and their chief pilot took a job with United Airlines, and they had me interview the person that they promoted within to be the new chief pilot, because just like there's a housing shortage, there's a pilot shortage, and the CMO wanted, and so the interview was built around what are the perks of being a pilot for AirShare, you know, from you can live wherever you want to what they pay to. So their CMO is going to know where potential pilots are better than me because he's in the business. He's in the aviation business. But, you know, they're not, that's what I'm saying. I said audio, video messaging. They're not general entertainment podcasts. They're for companies to message around whatever they want to promote. I mean, it, you could have a testimonial podcast where a client of the company doing the podcast talks about how that company took them from point A to point B. And just so there's, you know, there's I know another private jet company that's going public that wants a podcast for investors. So, I mean, yeah, it's, I do that. I also do a sports podcast, a real podcast for, it's called Bleav out of B-L-E-A-V out of Los Angeles. And it's called The Issues of Sports. And there is, I don't give questions in advance. It's not about necessarily promoting. And it's just about doing a podcast. And there, you know, you care about, I guess, the number of listeners or the number of, you know, how you promote it on social media, whereas the marketing stuff is more niche.
Right, right. Well, you transitioned from talking about being a mortgage broker to podcasting, and that's what I wanted to get into, your work as a podcaster. Could you give a percentage as far as your passion or the time devoted to either being a mortgage broker versus being a podcaster? Which one do you
do? This could get me with your podcast being so popular. If I answer this, somebody could get mad, right? I mean, if I say I care, you know, I'm spending 70% of my time doing this or 85% of my time doing this, and the 15 people could get mad. So I'm gonna duck that question, except to say that both interest me. I obviously have a longer history with broadcasting, but I also, you know, if you're a successful mortgage broker, you can do probably better than the average podcaster.
But, you know, as you mentioned, being a mortgage broker, the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina market, that also includes Chapel Hill in the central North Carolina, is one of the hottest markets in terms of real estate in the country. So you're in a good place. But what I want to mention also now, because we don't have too much time left, and we're going to continue this discussion the next time. So you'll be back with us. But you mentioned your time in the Los Angeles market. And you mentioned some of this as you were talking previously, but what are some of the things that really excited you working in that particular market?
Well, I lived there twice, and that's the thing about sports casting is sometimes you have to go where the job is. Not that Los Angeles is bad. I got a job. I was working at Extra Sports 690, which is a defunct sports station in San Diego. And somebody who I used to work with there, who worked up in LA at Sporting News Radio, got promoted out of the reporter position. And I touched base with him, and he helped me get the job in LA covering the Lakers, Dodgers. We were at the time the USC station when they were winning national championships with Pete Carroll and Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart. And, you know, it was definitely a special period of time. I got to cover the Lakers when they had Kobe and Shaq. And, we all know that, you know, that was a very special team coached by Phil Jackson and Derek Fisher and Rick Fox. And we can go on through it. And then Karl Malone joined and Gary Payton joined. So, you know, there was, and then the Dodgers did make the playoffs at one point, but I was going to games every night and doing reports on the radio. We're here in the, let's go to Evan Makovsky at Staples Center. We're here in the second quarter. Lakers lead the Celtics 44-38. Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, by the way. Kobe Bryant has 36 of the Lakers' 44 points. Again, with 3:54 to play in the second quarter, it's the Lakers 44, the Celtics 38. I don't even know if I said the same things at the beginning there, but I'm just giving you. So I would do updates like every 20 minutes for local in LA, and then there was Sporting News National in Chicago or Northbrook, Illinois. And after the game, I would go into the locker room and I would collect post-game sound. So interview the players around their lockers, around about the game. And it was a fun job. See, I don't want to sound gratuitous because baseball got a little monotonous, or you're sitting there at Angel Stadium and you have to drive back to Santa Monica and you're in extra innings at 11 p.m. But so I, you know, listen, people would die to cover sports and go to games like that. So I had an amazing, it provided me with great life experiences. And then the second time around when I lived in L.A., which was at a 6.5 year gap from where I moved to St. Louis. And I was a producer, a host there, and, you know, covered the Cardinals to a degree. I wasn't on like their beat, but you had to be there. St. Louis is a Cardinals town, and the Rams were there at that time. But then I came back because my station, well, Sporting News Radio in LA in 2007 changed formats. It was owned by the late Microsoft titan Paul Allen, and he sold it, and the LA station was converted to Korean, so we all lost our jobs. And then when I left St. Louis, my station was converted away from sports. So the there now you're seeing like the realities of the radio business, that it got worse since I graduated college. But I went back to LA. I worked for NBC Sports Radio, which is really Westwood One, and they leased the NBC. But I worked for NBC Sports Radio doing, you know, fill-in hosting, weekend shifts, and the money just was not, it kind of, things just went to a flat line. And at that point, you know, I started looking at other things. Now the podcasting thing came back around, and the sports podcast I do, but there you go on that.
I don't mean to cut you off, but we're running out of time. We're going to continue this, as I said, next time. Give the people in about maybe 10, 15 seconds your contact information if they'd like to work with you or at least contact you.
Sure. My website's podcastvideohost.com. The information is on there. You can email me at evan@podcastvideohost.com. And my cell number is 310-428-7210.
Thank you for being with us today, Evan. And I'd also like to thank our audience for being with us. And in closing, I'd like to say that whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep this in mind, that there's always more good things coming your way. And we'll be seeing you the next time.